Good morning, everyone. Bless you. How are you? Good to see each and every one of you. Doing better? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, our God, He is majestic. You know, He can do anything we allow Him to do. And I was just thinking about the Lord while we were worshiping the Lord, and Brother Corey was leading us in that worship. I don't know why this comes to my heart so strong, but you and I, we don't question whether God wants to save people. This has nothing to do with the message, but, you know, we don't question that. You know, we don't get around and we pray and say, God, is it your will to save this sinner? We never do that. Well, why don't we look at all the areas of the covenant that God gave us through Jesus Christ the same way as we do at salvation? God, He wants to heal us. He wants to deliver us. He wants to be our shepherd, our provider. But all of those other things, we get in a place and we let the devil and the flesh get us in a place where we're asking, well, if it's God's will. It's in the covenant. So God wants to minister to His children. He wants us to believe in. You realize that God has things for me, and it's like He's got them right there and they got my name on them. But unless I believe Him, He has no access. My faith is the point of access that will bring what He's promised to my life. So, you know, we need this Bible like never before. We need to feed our faith. Or we can be what? We can be that example. Amen? I want everything God has for me, don't you? I mean, I know the Bible says we're not to be covetous, but, you know, we need to be greedy about the things that are ours. Because if we don't get them, the devil what? He will steal, kill, and destroy them out of our lives. You think about that, and let's open up our Bibles to the book of Colossians. You remember we started a series, and then we had baby dedications, and then we had these feast days that we've been ministering on, so we had to kind of go by the, we had a couple services where the Holy Spirit ministered in a different way. So we're getting back to Colossians chapter 1. Anybody remember where we were at? Anyway, this will be our third session in this chapter 1, and we're talking about how this epistle tells you and I how to live a conquering lifestyle through Christ Jesus. Come on, you are more than a conqueror, amen? But it doesn't matter if the Bible says it if you don't know it. It doesn't matter if the Bible tells me that if I don't know it, if I don't live it, amen? And so that's Paul here. He's in this epistle, he's bringing out the preeminence. That's exactly right, verse 15, amen. Good job. He's bringing out the preeminence and the fullness of Christ, amen? And that's what we want. We want Christ to be first in every area of our life. And if He's first, then we're going to be full of Him rather than anything else, amen? All right, let's read this, Colossians 1 and 15. We're going to read down to verse 23, but we're going to pull our main verses of Scripture from 15, 16, and 17. But verses 15 through 23 is the divine preeminence of Christ. So let's look at that. Verse 15, who is the image, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and for Him. Verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence, He might be first. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Jesus, should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Him, self, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Verse 22, how did he do it? In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Brother Donnie, would you pray over this message?
Lord, thank you for what you did in this service today, Lord. Thank you
yes.
for this message. Tell us to give to us today, Lord.
Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you for your presence. I want you to know how much you're appreciated. As I was praying this morning, I was thinking about each one of you and the things that what you bring to the body of Christ and how you're a blessing. And I want you to know that. I want you to know that we're mindful of you and we're thankful for every one of you because, you know, we never have the opportunity. Sometimes we don't know when we'll have the opportunity again to say thank you for being a part of our lives and a part of the will of God. Amen. We're not promised tomorrow. And we don't know when all this thing is going to get shook up and everything's going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of eye. But I appreciate your faithfulness, and I just encourage you just to run like you've never run before. Let your heart be ablaze in the things in the will of the Lord and see what God will do. Amen? All right, let's look at some things this morning. I want you to take home with you. I believe it'll be such a blessing to you and I. Notice what he said there in verse 15, talking about Jesus. He said, who is? Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, so we're going to look at three things that I want you to take home with you out of 15, 16, and 17. First of all, Christ has to be first. Christ is first in the things of heaven, and he should be first in the things here on earth. But you have free will, I have free will, and so we've got to make a conscious choice moment by moment to make sure that we keep Christ in that place of first. And so I want you to get this down in your heart. It says that Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, think about it. You are a product of Jesus Christ this morning. Think about that. You are a product. Now, people may look at you and they may see something in the natural, or they may try to hold on to the past and all those things. You can't control that. But what you've got to do is say, that's not going to affect me, what somebody else thinks or says. I'm going to walk in who Jesus says I am. And Jesus said that I am created after his image. Wow! See, the devil doesn't want you and I to walk in that reality and that truth. He wants us to walk in, well, they think this about me, or they think that about me. What does Jesus think about you? Come on now, Jesus thinks that you were worthy of his life. He shed his blood for you, and then he put his spirit inside of you where you could what? You could be led, directed into all truth. You could open your mouth wide and the Holy Spirit would bring the Word of God up through your spirit, out your soul, and would make you in the body of Christ in this earth age a destined what? Witness for Him. Oh my goodness. Everybody wants to be something. Say, I'm somebody. This morning you are somebody. You are a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he was created, because his death, burial, and resurrection created you and I in his image, we have what? The opportunity every day for that image to come out. Come on. Every day the image of Christ is going to come out of you and I because we're going to be washed in the water of the Word. We're going to let the Word change us, and we're going to let the body be brought under subjection as our soul is made just like Jesus. Amen? And so that means that if the Lord tarries Wednesday night when you and I come together, we're going to look more like Jesus than we do right now. He doesn't change, but He changes us. Amen. So let's get ourselves in a place in the mindset where we can see some things. Hold your place right here and go to John chapter 8. We could go to John chapter 1, but everybody in here could quote it. And so let's try to, I want to always try to feed with a fresh perspective. But John chapter 8, look what Jesus is, he's trying to minister to the religious. How many know religious people is impossible to get to? The Holy Ghost has to break that religious spirit off of them because the devil has them in a stronghold of what a relationship with God is. And it's all about works, and it's all about law, and it's all about what looks acceptable and permissible on the outside, when you and I know that God's looking at the heart. Amen. So look what Jesus, he makes this statement in John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, he said, verily, verily, truly, truly, this is a judicial term. In other words, this will stand up, and this, they'll have to, when they stand before the judgment of God, those who, the great white throne judgment, those who don't accept Jesus, they'll hear him say these words, and these words will bring condemnation in their life. Aren't you glad you're saved by grace? Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham, I was. Now, why are we looking at that? Because we're looking at that because Jesus said that he was the firstborn of every creation. He was the first. He is preeminent. He was number one. Right now, we got a whole society that is trying to create a world church, and they're trying to blend all religions and all denominations and everything together to make it presentable, to make it acceptable, to make it all inclusive to everybody. It won't work. It can't work because it has to be about Jesus. And Jesus is the purifier of fire. He's the one by the Holy Spirit that brings a separation. He's the one that brings truth in your life and my life. And so right here, he's trying to talk to these religious people. They're trusting in Abraham. Now, praise God for Abraham. All of those things, the father of faith, and we see that and recognize that. But they're in a place and a position where they don't know Abraham, but because they have a natural bloodline, they think they're okay. You and I are not okay with a natural bloodline. A natural bloodline, if we don't get born again spiritually by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're going to split hell wide open. I'm sorry. We need to make sure that everybody knows that you've got to be born again, and you've got to have Jesus the Word in your life. You've got to see that shed blood was for you, and you call upon him and let that change your life. Amen. He's got to be first. So you and I, we're going to have to start our life and we got to teach people how to start their life afresh in the reality of who Jesus is, what he has done for us, and that and it's not about who we used to be or who we used to know. You know, there's countless people who are inside a church building. They were raised in church, but they're not born again. I've went to church with a lot of people, and you and I, we're not judging people. We judge righteous judgment. We don't judge after the natural. But Jesus said, look at the fruit. The fruit brings revelation whether someone is born again or not. It brings revelation whether they're walking in the new birth or not. All of those things. And so here they're trusting in who they knew, but they were trusting in, they thought that Abraham was before Jesus. They even get into the deal. Jesus tries to teach them in the sixth chapter of this same gospel that they were talking about, hey, Moses gave us bread. And Jesus said, you don't understand. I was the true bread that came down from heaven, and Moses didn't give it to you. My Father gave it to you. Jesus has got to be first. Come on, the church has got to get back to the point where we ask the Lord, what do you want? What's your plan for my life? What's your direction? What's your guidance in my life? Because, see, we're living in a place and a position, if we're not careful, and everybody wants to be seeker-friendly, and everybody wants to make sure everybody's comfortable, well, we've got to break out of that. I'm sorry. The time of being comfortable is over. We're comfortable in our relationship with God if what? If he's changing us, if he's challenging us, if you're not being changed, if I'm not being changed, if I'm not being challenged, then Christ isn't first. Amen. Come on now. Hallelujah. Because he comes into your life and he shows you moment by moment a deeper revelation of God's plan and his will for your life. You have a destiny. But this flesh and the world and the way the devil, the prince of the power of the air works, will try to rob you and I of that. But we've got to realize that we've got to have Jesus first to be able to know what that is. Amen. Turn over to the 17th chapter of the same gospel. And look what Jesus, he makes a couple statements here. John chapter 17, pardon me, verse 5. Look what Jesus says. He's talking to the Father. This is the greatest prayer that is, in my opinion, in the whole Bible, in the 17th chapter. But he says, "And now, O Father," John 17, 5, "and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self with the glory which I had with thee," notice this, "before the world was." Jesus was first. First. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three in one. Amen? You can't separate them. John chapter 10, Jesus makes this statement about the oneness, the unity of this Godhead. And so we've got to see that everything that we're trusting in this world, Jesus was first. This world is here because Jesus what? God spoke the Word, spoke Jesus. The Holy Spirit took the Word and there was a creation process. All right? You're saved this morning because the Word was spoken by the Father that He wanted you to be saved. He wanted you to be born again. Jesus was that Word, and that Holy Spirit took that Word and knocked on your heart's door and you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you were first born. You were born again, born from above. Amen. And so we have to walk that out. If we're not careful after you've been saved, after I've been saved a while, we kind of relax. Well, I'm saved. I don't have to worry about hell now. And if we're not careful, we don't pray like we did. I'm not browbeating you. I'm not trying to get on you. But as your pastor, I want what's best for you. And I see some things. And God's wanting to stir a fire in our life. You've got to pray. You've got to read your Bible. Amen. You've got to let the Holy Spirit. No, we're not talking about legalism. We're not talking about things that make you saved. We're talking about things that make you to be able to be successful in your salvation. To make you enjoy your salvation and to be a blessing to God. I want to bless the Lord, don't you? Oh, I desperately want to bless Him. He blessed me all of those years, and I was just, to be honest, I was just a nuisance. And He was very long-suffering and patient. But now I've got a chance to produce some fruit for the Lord. You've got some chances to produce some fruit for the Lord. Let's don't let anything stop it. Let's make sure that Jesus is first. Remember what Jesus, He makes a statement in, what is it, Revelation 22:13? He said, "I am the Alpha, the Omega, and the first and the..." First. So He has to be first in your life. He has to be first in my life. So what we need to do is we need to say, "Father God, in the name of Jesus, I want your Holy Spirit of truth to show me." And you may not need any adjustment. Maybe it's just me. But I know I need adjustment because I get sidetracked. And if I'm not very careful, I'll get on tangents and I'll get tunnel vision about certain things. I don't care to get tunnel vision about the things of the Lord, but I don't want tunnel visions about the things of the flesh. Amen. And so I want that preeminence. I want Jesus first. Now let's go back to Colossians and let's look at verse 16. We read verse 15. Look at verse 16 and we're going to talk about this just a little bit. Colossians 1:16, "For by Him," say by Him. Oh, this should be so comforting to us. He said, "For by Him were all things created." How many is all things? "That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Once again, second time, "all things were created by Him and for Him." Doesn't that make you feel incredibly special? God said you were His chosen generation, that you were precious. You're a peculiar people. You're precious in His sight. God made you for this moment of time that we're living in. Nobody could be successful like you in this moment of time. You were destined to blossom. You were destined to produce fruit. You were destined, but you've got to see who created you. You're not created by the world. You're not created by mom and daddy. They'll thank mom and daddy that God used them to bring your natural body in. But your spirit was formed by the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
He gave you your personality. It come from God. So embrace who you are, not in the natural man, but in the spiritual man. Embrace that and start asking the Lord, Lord, you created me this way. Okay, you made me unique. You are unique. Nobody else has your DNA. Nobody else has your fingerprints. Come on. So ask the Lord, Lord, you've made me this way. Show me. Now, don't get mad at me. Stop copycatting people. Don't want to pray like somebody else. Don't want to read the Bible like somebody else. Don't want to sing like somebody else. Don't want to preach like somebody else. Don't want to testify like somebody else. Do it the way God made you to do it. Your way is just as valuable as anybody else's in the eyes of the Lord. There's no big and no little. There's only those who are born again. Come on, say, I'm born again. Oh, glory. So let's be in the place and let's tell the devil. Every time the devil starts trying to get in your mind or tries to get in your life or get in your relationships or to get on your job, say, no, wait a minute. I am formed by Christ. Come on, I have a creation, and my creation is not in and of man. My creation is not in and of this world. My creation is of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now hold your place here and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look, document that out of the Word of God. Let's see. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about you and I being born again, being saved because of the grace of God and our faith in it. But I want you to, for sake of time, drop down to verse 12 in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, talking about when you were not born again. You were a sinner. Be honest, I was a sinner. That you at that time were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, from the citizenship of God, you were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You know, we need to stop every once in a while, and we just need to still ourselves. We need to say, Holy Spirit, take me back. Remind me what it feels like to be lost. Why do we want to do that? Because if we'll do that, we'll be compassionate. We won't be so judgmental. We won't be so hard on people who don't know the grace that you and I know. We need to stay in that place where we're pliable, we're soft, we're touched. Jesus is a great high priest who's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And we need to be what? Touched by those who are in the place and the position where they don't know Jesus. Amen? We need to keep ourselves fresh that, hey, I'm saved just because God's a good God. Amen? All right, now notice this. But now, aren't you glad that God's always got a but? He's got a but for you and I, a but to stake in the way of the enemy. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. This word nigh means that you're just as close to God, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit. It's possible. The devil doesn't want you and I to do that. He wants us to walk back into religion and say, okay, I've done this, I've done that, I've done that. So I qualify being close to God. No, you're qualified close to being to God because you called upon the name of the Lord and the blood of Jesus puts you in that position. It's not no works. Jesus done the work. We couldn't do it. So, I'm in the place where I know why I were formed. I was formed by Christ and I'm His creation and I'm formed for a reason. And that reason is that I learned how to walk in the newness of life and I learned how to walk under the blood. See, when you and I are in the blood of Jesus, now, this is going to make somebody mad, but I've got to say it. If the devil keeps punching you in the nose You need to stop sticking your head out. The Bible says that our life is hid in Christ Jesus. Now, but every time the devil hits me, it's because I step out of that hiding place. I let my flesh or my own selfish desires or a lie of the enemy, I step out from away from that hiding place. And every time I step out, there's the devil. So if you're going through some things over and over and you can't get an answer in prayer, maybe you need to check your location. Verse 14, for he, talking about Christ Jesus, is our peace. So I'm a created formation of Christ Jesus, and I have peace with God. You have peace with God this morning. The Bible says at one time I was an enemy of God. But now Jesus Christ, he become my peacemaker. And everything that was that I had done to separate myself from God the Father, everything that was made me at odds with him, now there is a perfect unity in relationship. Jesus is my peace. Not only is he my peace in this world when I go through troubles and trials, but I have the peace of God that passeth all understanding because I have a relationship that cannot be moved by this world, that cannot be moved by the enemy. Now, I can choose to move myself. But isn't that exciting? You're a creation that was formed how? In peace. You need to tell the devil every time he starts trying to work in your mind, starts trying to move you in a negative direction, you say, uh-uh. Christ formed me. And he formed me for peace. I am a vessel for peace. Amen? Everything God puts in you, you and I are to put out. See, that's why the devil doesn't want you and I to appreciate this, to acknowledge this, and then to awaken others to it. Did you hear what the Holy Ghost just said? For he is our peace, who hath made both one, Jew and Gentile. That's the part of the covenant and part who didn't have any part of the covenant, we could say. And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, because we're one with God, we can be one with what? With each other. And God can use us then to bring unity into a lost and dying world because God said that there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. There's neither bond or free. But you're all one in Christ Jesus. Everything that would separate and divide us because I'm a created being, because you're a created being, you're Christ formed. Come on, you can bring unity. Now, this is important because right now we got division like I've never seen before in this United States of America. Our nation is divided about everything. We can't agree on the simplest of things. But one thing you and I agree on is Jesus is the what? He's the common denominator. He's the one that brings things together. And so we got to be in the place where we operate from the unity of Jesus Christ. And he uses us to, as whoever will, whomsoever will, can come out of this world. Come on, while the time is allotted, while the time is here, while the dispensation of grace is available, and bring them to that place of unity. Amen? But you've got to see, no, I've got peace, I've got unity. I know who I am. In other words, I am Christ formed. This is a fact. That's what Paul's trying to get the Colossian church to that place of conquering anything that would keep them from the place of victory. Look, notice what he done for us. Verse 15. And having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Isn't that exciting? Now, we preached on it before, but remember what the Holy Spirit taught us here. It's unity, but not uniformity. I don't do things like you. You don't do things like me. That's okay. We're in unity, but we're not made to be a cookie-cutter Christian. Amen? You stand out for Jesus and you shine a light where mine won't reach. I'll stand up for Jesus and I'll shine a light where your light won't reach. Amen. Because we're showing the whole world that we are Christ formed. Amen. See, the areas that I'm defeated in, Jesus is going to bring you into my life and you're going to have victory in that area. And guess what? You're going to put your arm around me. I'm going to put my arm around you and you're going to take me to the place of victory. That's the way this is designed. The body of Christ is designed to be pillars for one another. We're designed to be kept together by the ligaments of the Holy Spirit, the ligaments of peace. Amen. Ephesians 4 tells us that. Isn't that encouraging? All right. Verse 16. And that he, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. You and I, we got to, every time something comes that would bring, try to build that wall back up, that would try to separate, try to divide, say, wall, you fall in Jesus' name. Jesus has done destroyed that. I'm not going to have any separation from God. I'm not going to have any separation from my brothers and sisters. I'm not going to have any separation in the sense of not being able to reach the world. Yes, I've come out and I'm separate from among them, but guess what? Jesus was a friend to the sinner. Remember, they called him a wine bibber? You can change the world. You can change the world because of the Holy Ghost in you. Your creation is from Christ. Say, I'm Christ formed. All right, go back to Colossians. Let's look at verse 17. And him is before all things, this reality of who Jesus Christ is before, in front of, superior. Jesus is superior to all things. Why would we want to settle for anything this world had to offer? I don't want religion, do you? Religion can't save you. Religion can't give you peace. Religion can't give you hope. All religion does is just pacify the flesh for just a little while. But Jesus is superior to all of these things. And he is before, superior, in front of all things. And by him, all things consist. Now, let's look at a couple things in this verse. So Jesus is in front of, he's superior to all things. Now, what does that mean to you and I? Because, you know, right now, you know, you and I are being confronted by a lot of things. We're being confronted by things that we never thought we would see in our nation, in the world. Everything that we look to for comfort, everything that we look to, I'm talking about in the natural, we thought it was going to be a certain way. But we see what's happening to the dollar. We see what's happening to American influence. And we see people in high positions that they cannot tell the truth. There's just one spirit of lie after another after another. And people that once could count on their government were in the place right now where you don't know. Judges don't judge according to the law. They judge according to what? Who put them in office? Whoever put them in office, if a Democrat president put in a federal judge, the judge is going to what? He's going to support the Democrats. It's not meant to be that way, but it's the same way with Republicans. I'm not saying that. But a judge is to be what? Impartial. Aren't you glad that Jesus is your judge? Jesus is my judge. Amen. He's impartial. But what I want you to get in this reality that he's in front of all things. He's superior to everything. So anything that's coming against you, you and I have to what? We have to put that name of Jesus. He said everything had to bow to the name of Jesus, right? So if I'm in this place where I see that everything is consisting, this is our third point, consisting and final by Jesus, it takes all the pressure off you to live your life. See, if we, you know, we didn't have time to, but you studied in your home study time. The devil thinks he's got something to do. Jesus is over the devil. Jesus is going to, he's done spoke the word. And one of these days when that word takes hold in the devil's going to be turned from ashes from the inside out by the word of God. It's judgment's done there. It's done been spoken. So we need to live from the finality of what Jesus has spoken, not what we're dealing with at the moment by moment by moment. Amen. I'm consisting and everything is final because Jesus, he has the first and the final say. If I know that, if I believe that, if I act like that, if I. Let's look at a verse. Hold your place right there. Let's 1 Peter chapter 4. Not for sure. Maybe it's about verse 8 or something. 1 Peter chapter 4, let's just start verse 7. It says, but the end, the conclusion, the purpose, from the Greek is really what it says, but the purpose of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, you know, have a sound mind, be influenced from the Holy Spirit on the inside, not the things you see on the outside. Be ye therefore sober and watch, watch unto prayer. In other words, there's some things you and I will never see unless we're in prayer about it. Well, I just didn't see that coming. I've said that. You know why I didn't see it coming? Because I didn't pray about it. It's the way it was. I just didn't pray about it. I mean, but I'm learning. Amen. Notice what it says. Now, here's why we came here. Here's the same Greek word in verse 8. And above all things. Remember, Jesus has this preeminence. He is above all. All things, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover love. What's what we're talking about? Shall cover a multitude of sins. Now, isn't that the truth about Jesus? For God so loved the while I was yet a sinner, God demonstrated his love for me. Christ died for me. I had a multitude of sins. Amen. But Jesus is above sin. Now listen by the Holy Ghost this morning. Stop letting sin determine what you can do or can't do. And especially the sin of the past. You can't do anything about the past. I can't do anything about the past. Jesus swallows up the past. He washes it away. But then he uses your past. He uses my past for his glory. Amen? Let it be in Jesus' name. Amen. Now notice what he said. He said, and above all things, in other words, let it be superior, have fervent charity among yourselves. Why can you have love among yourselves? It's because God loved you. And God is shedding love abroad in your heart, in my heart. That's ours. And so I consist and I'm finalized by love. Oh, come on now. Think about that just for a moment. You consist. You have an existence because God loved you and had a mind for you. Nobody else could fill that void in God the Father's heart but you. Now, do you know why the devil hates you so much? You know why he comes against you so strong? Because you have a place in the Father's heart. You consist. You come from that existence of that place in God's heart. But everything has to be finalized that you see that when Christ went on that cross and he gave his life, he shed his blood, that when he said it was finished, he meant it was finished. Amen? You're somebody because Jesus made you somebody. I was nothing without him. But in him, I am considered to be God's very own. You're considered to be God's very own. Amen? So I'm going to be consisting. And I'm going to be finalized as the Word of God is working in my life. Okay, go back to Colossians 1:17. And he said, he is before, he's in front of, he's superior to all things. And he demonstrated that by his love. And by him, all things consist. All things are being held together. So how many times have you heard somebody say, my whole life is falling apart? Or, you know, I've said that about certain vehicles or certain jobs or certain situations. It seems like everything's falling apart. Well, it may seem like that, but I don't need to say that. I need to say that Jesus, he's the one that brought everything in existence, but he's the one that's holding everything together. I need to believe that. You need to believe that. We need to live like that, that Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, is holding everything together. Now, let's understand how he's holding that together. Hold your place here and turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 8. And I want you to see something. This same Greek word is used here in Luke chapter 8. Remember when Jesus meets with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, and all of these things happened where the revelation comes where God says, behold, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Remember that? Well, let's look at something here about this, because this same word is used about consisting and being held together. Verse 32, Luke, what did I say, 8? I should have said 9. Luke 9, 32. It says, but Peter and they that were with him, they're here on this mount, were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory. And the two men, Moses and Elijah, the two men that stood with him. And that word stood is the same word where by Jesus all things consist, there in Colossians 1:17. So what does that tell you and I? How does Jesus hold everything together? Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, and Jesus is in the middle of them. If you want your life to be held together, you've got to have the whole Word of God. And if you've got the whole Word of God, I don't care what's happening, the Word will not fail you. Jesus will not fail you. I mean, you may go through the fire. You may be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Azrael, Hananiah, Mishael, their Hebrew names. You may fall down into the fiery furnace, but guess what? Jesus is going to be in the fiery furnace with you, and His Word is going to bring you out of the fire. Believe that. Know that. And so you've got to tell the devil. You've got to tell yourself. Remind yourself. No, all things are consisting because Jesus said so. And so Jesus is standing there with. Remember, Peter, James, and John is there. Only the three that were closest to Jesus got to witness this. See, if we're not careful, we don't realize that there's a price to pay. And we, you know, in this world of all inclusivity, we want to say that everybody can have the same thing. They can have the same thing, but they got to pay the same price. Yeah. So here they are, and they're getting to witness and experience something. And it says that the two men that stood with him stood with Jesus. So if you want your life to stand, if you want your life to be held together by Jesus, then you've got to know what he says. You never make it. I'll never make it guessing. The devil loves it when we guess. You know what else the devil loves? He loves it when we hope. Now, Bible hope is great. Bible hope is taking your faith and working that faith and having an expectation that God's going to honor your faith. But the world just hopes. Well, I hope everything's okay. It's not going to be. If you don't put Jesus in your life, if you don't give it to Jesus, I don't care what you're thinking or what you're dreaming about. It is a dream. It's a fairy tale. I know that's hard, but it's the truth. Amen? We've got to learn to do some things different. I've been praying for y'all. I've been praying for me. And God's been showing me some things. And it's so sad how you and I are crying and whining about some things and asking God to change it. But we won't change. We're wanting Him to touch people and do something different in their life. But yet we're doing the same thing that got those people in that situation. How is he going to be able to change them if we don't do something different according to his word in their life? This is serious. I'm trying to build us in a place where we can see it. But notice what happens. It says in verse 33, and it came to pass as they departed from him, Moses and Elijah. Why? Because Jesus said, it is finished. He said, I came to fulfill the law. Every jot, every tittle. And they departed from him. And Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. Think about it. And while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. See, there is a place where you and I can get into where the whole Word of God is available to us. But if we're not in that place, if they hadn't been there, the cloud couldn't overshadow them.
Right.
The other nine, they weren't there. You've got to be in your place. I've got to be in my place in God's timing. Well, it'll be okay. God will do it next time. There wasn't a next time. Well, God will do it when I get home. And while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. They feared as they entered in the cloud. Now notice what happens. Verse 35, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Will you and I hear Jesus? That's the question. Will we hear what Paul is trying his best to get the church at Colossae, to get the church at Dover, Arkansas this morning to live in the reality of these three things, that Christ has to be first in your life, that you're a creation that is formed, you're a Christ-formed creation, that you consist and your life is final by the Word of God and nothing else. The devil's going to try you and try to get you to back up. He's going to try me and try to get me to back up. But we've got to stand strong in the truth of what God says. Amen? Let's close with in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers or various motley matters, ways, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by who? By his Son. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. See, Jesus puts everything together. We got people who still try to live by the law. We got people who try to live so free that there's not even grace involved in it. But Jesus brings it all together. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God made the worlds by Jesus, by the Word. You're made by the very Word. Now notice why we came here. Verse 3. Talking about Jesus, who is the brightness of God's glory. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. You know, everybody says, man, I just wish I could see this and I could see that. Open up the Bible and you can see God through Jesus. We need to stop asking God, God, will you do this? We need to start saying what Jesus said. We need to start doing what Jesus did. There's some things we're praying about and we're not getting results because we're not supposed to be praying about them. We're supposed to be decreeing and working what Jesus worked. He said, the works I do, amen. Okay. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding, I love this, all things. How many things? By the word of his power. Upholding. This means to bear upon his own shoulders. When Jesus went to that cross, he took everything the devil had to offer and he carried it. He held it up. See, the devil brung everything that was death and destruction and a destroying agent, and it could not touch Jesus because Jesus is holding up God the Father's will. And he done it for you and I. He's upholding all things. He's upholding your life. But you've got to let him. You've got to stay in that place under the cloud where you hear God telling you about Jesus. How does God talk to you? By the Holy Spirit. So he'll hold up your marriage. He'll hold up your job. He'll hold up your finances. He'll hold up your health. He'll hold up everything that you and I be under the cloud in the covenant. Psalms 91:1, those who abide under the shadow of the Most High God. That's that place of covenant. He'll even give his angels charge over you. Upholding all things by the power of his word. Huh? Let's read it again. The word of his power. The Rhema word. That's his power. Oh, I want to be slain in the spirit. Well, praise God. I want to shake in the spirit. I want to get do that. All of those things are evidence of the presence of the power of God. This is his power. Amen. And he wrote it to you. This has been written to you, to me. It's a love letter from God to us. Amen? You got people who, they want to hear, Don and I were talking about this the other day, they want to have a telephone call from God. Well, praise God. That's wonderful. I mean, I like the prophetic, I like the moving of the Spirit and all those things are real. But God's not going to talk to me that way until I let him talk to me this way. But you know why? Because the devil talks that way. And if I don't have this in my heart, the devil will deceive me and say, God said, and then all of a sudden I'll get in a mess, and then I'll leave somebody else in a mess. God's perfect. He don't make any mistakes. Amen? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had purged, when he had by himself purged our sins and set down on the right hand of majesty on high. Just think about it. The priest, that's what, you look at the type and the shadow in the Old Testament, they could never set down because their work was never done. Think about what was in when they went into that most holy place, that holy of holies. There was no chair there. But Jesus, he finished the work and he sat down. And you're seated with him. Oh, but God's going to change me someday. He changed you when you got born again. You've just got to make your soul renewed by the Word of God to bring your flesh into subjection to walk it out. Amen? Okay, we'll close with this thought. You know the painting that Da Vinci painted, The Last Supper? What sticks out? Think about it. Picture it in your mind's eye. Everybody's seen it. Think about what sticks out in your mind's eye when you think about that painting. You know, I go across and I see different things in that painting, but my mind's eye always go to the hands of Jesus. And so he spent 3 years painting this painting. Can you imagine? Well, see, he wanted this to be his crowning masterpiece. He put everything he had in, Da Vinci did, into painting this. And so he decided to show it to a friend of his who he trusted very much, and he had a high respect for him before he showed it to anybody else. And that friend come in and he was looking at the painting, and he gave him several minutes to absorb the message of that painting. And then he finally asked him, he said, "So tell me, what do you think about the painting?" And the man that he respected, he skimmed and put his eyes over every inch of that fabric, and then he looked at Da Vinci and he said, "The chalice in the hand of Jesus is extremely beautiful." Immediately, Da Vinci went and grabbed his paintbrush and he went to painting out the chalice, because you and I, we know there's no chalice in it. He went to painting it out. And he said, wait a minute, what are you doing? He said, if you see a chalice over the image I'm trying to bring out of this picture of Christ, then it has to go. What are we saying this morning? We're saying anything in your life, in my life, that would take away Jesus being first and foremost in and out of our lives, it has to go. The blood of Jesus can cover it up. Now, don't get mad at me, but I want you to pray this morning in all sincerity, because there's some little idols that are coming up in some of our lives. And the Holy Spirit wants to deal with those idols. They're little things that are keeping you and I from being where God would want us to be. I'm not talking about salvation. Salvation is by grace. I'm talking about sanctification and walking out your salvation, walking in the will of God. God is wanting you to do some things, but you've got your mind somewhere else. And so what we want to do is not let man put us in a corner, but we want the Holy Spirit to set us in that place of liberty and freedom, that place seated beside Jesus, where we can see the truth, and then we can operate and we can live out of that truth. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your goodness and your kindness. I thank you for this wonderful group of people, Lord. I thank you for the liberty that we have in this place this morning. I thank you for the love that we feel. That love that covers a multitude of sins, that love that never fails. Lord, I ask right now that you just touch each one of us and help us to see ourselves seated in heavenly places with you, and help us to let the Holy Spirit paint out anything in our life that would overshadow Jesus. Anything of self, any personal desire, any lie of the enemy, any work of the world, let that be put in its proper place. And help us yield to you and trust you like never before. Lord, it can only happen by your Holy Spirit. The devil will put us under condemnation, but you put us in a place where you give us hope and expectancy for something greater, something better, and praise God, something eternal. Lord, let it be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning and say, Lord, here I am. I'm just going to lay my face in your bosom. I'm just going to let your light shine in my heart, my life. I'm going to allow you to make a change in me and for me. I'm going to be encouraged. I'm going to be edified. I'm going to live from this place where you're first in every area of my life. Would you come this morning? He loves you so much. He has so much for you. There's some things you need to let. Thus saith the Lord, you need to open up your hands on some things that you're holding on to with everything that you've got and give it to God. And when you give it to God, He'll give it back to you, but it'll be sanctified. It'll be put in a place, in a position where you can truly use it. There's some things that you're holding on this morning that you think you're using, you think you're being a benefit to, but it's not. Give it to Jesus, and when the Spirit of God comes on it, when the blood of Jesus is on it, it'll be changed forever. It'll be beneficial to you and to everyone else in your life. In Jesus' name.